In fact, I used Jerry out in Monroeville at the, you know where the John A. Building is?
Yeah, right.
There's a restaurant up at top.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when I first started out with, when we first got Tom Evans.
Mm-hmm.
And it was me, Jerry, Dan was on bass, and Tom, he was singing.
Right, no, at his home.
Oh, okay.
You know, out patio outside in the pool,
yeah,
a little bit,
yeah.
You know. And then, and I remember I knew about the building. He was into automobiles. Didn't he have automobiles?
Yeah, he had automobiles. And
a lot
of property.
A lot of business.
Stuff.
Yeah.
We used to play a lot of country clubs, too.
Chuck. Did you, were they... black affairs in the country clubs, or were they white affairs?
They're white affairs.
Okay. Did you do much, I don't want to call it society, but much black formal affairs?
Yeah. We a lot of the clubs around town we played there. The Continentals.
Okay.
We played for them and...
Junior Mothers.
Junior Mothers, we played a couple of theirs,
yeah.
But Bobby Jones used to play most of theirs. But we played a couple.
Of Mutt.
Huh?
Because
of
Mutt.
Yeah. You know, he's in bad shape.
I know. Was he close by?
How far? Lives in the next block, the third
house. The next block,
yeah.
Excuse me, go ahead.
Hi!
How long did you study with the guy at Hammond's?
It was about a year, year and a half, somewhere around there. Yeah.
And then after that, no more dealings with him.
No, because I think if he passed when I was still going there, it was a little after he passed. Big, real tall, Mr. Becker, yeah.
And you never did anything.
I think Joe Harris, that's who Joe Harris went to.
Yeah, from Hammond.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you never did anything with Fabrizi's.
No.
In later years,
I went, used to go down to Fabrizi's and buy some sticks or something like that.
Yeah.
I would go down. You know, he had a place down in Wolfenburg.
Yeah.
Drum shop.
Wasn't it near Bechtel, the music store that was on Penn Avenue? Was it on Penn Avenue?
Later it was on Wood Street.
Oh, okay.
You know, that main drag, this is Penn Avenue and this.
Oh, yeah, the one that crosses.
Yeah.
The banks.
Yeah, right, the banks, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was down a couple blocks.
When you, like, your club work, were you on extended, long contracts, long-term working, or were they?
A few times. Like, I think we were, with Tommy and myself, we were down at Grill for about, 7 or 8 months maybe, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
then you said at Landmark.
The Landmark, I was 10 years,
yeah.
I was down there 10 years.
Would it be, would they just extend like a 6 months or a year and then extend it, or you just...
Well, I was a part of all the...
You were part of management.
Yeah, okay.
I
had a little thing going on. And I couldn't come right out and say because I was working for
the
beer company.
Yeah,
they don't allow that.
I know.
It's against the law.
Did you have, did you ever, you used several white musicians in your group.
Yeah.
I think, because you...
John D'Amico?
Yeah.
You see that one?
No, I didn't see that. Did you get many calls, as a drummer, freelance calls as a drummer? Back in those days, established mostly as a leader?
I would say half and half.
Half and half.
But I would get a lot of
calls. When the merge happened, how did you visualize or think things were going to happen in terms of the marriage as a black musician?
The way it was going, I knew it was going to be different, Chuck. You know, we wouldn't have the same, it wouldn't be the same.
Right. Did you have any ideas that, okay, now, well, you were working downtown anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, see, so, but a lot of guys that were not really exposed to that area, they thought, oh, it's going to open up. I mean, I'm going downtown, I can work down. But common sense tells you when
it wasn't happening.
And then, you know, you were successful because of your salesmanship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Harold and Walt, I mean, mm-hmm. they would have, I mean, you were going to do it regardless.
Yeah.
Even if
right.
we hadn't have had the merge. You know, your environment in white clubs and things would have gone on.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of guys don't quite understand that. You know.
But, you know, a lot of guys like you and I and quite a few other mm-hmm. guys, they couldn't play the white club.
Well, that's
because they didn't, you know, the tunes and what have you.
You hate to really get down to that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's...
But that's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember, were you somewhat active in that, in BMOP, you know, the Black Musicians of Pittsburgh, the group Doc and Ducky, and the group that we had?
I was never in, I didn't
because,
care.
Okay, and actually it was when we had the court case, remember when we sued the union?
I remember.
The federation and so forth,
mm-hmm.
And then we had, you know, this other outfit that, and in fact, part of it put the wrong thoughts in some of the minds of the younger guys coming along,
mm-hmm.
because Nelson came up with the thing about let's boycott the union, and so they, you know, they said we won't go to the union
mm-hmm.
To pay your dues or whatever and so forth, and then guys stopped going to the union meetings, and then the next thing they just dropped out of the union, period.
Out of
6471.
Yeah.
You know, they just dropped out of the union. And, you know, guys like Jerry, I mean, they just rolled over. They gave up. They just said, the heck with it. And I do feel that it hurt them in the long run
mm-hmm.
because, you know, even if you got to kind of take a little bit of guff,
yeah.
you know, stay in there because mm-hmm. there is a benefit.
Oh, yeah. You found that out yourself, Chuck.
Well, mine,
you know, how many good groups have won for the white groups you work with, man?
Well, it's
been going
off.
For years.
Yeah,
oh, I know it has, Chuck. Yeah.
Did you find that the work that you had been doing for black organizations, black clubs, and black groups, did you find it slowly diminishing? I mean, you know, economics. Taking its effect on some of the black clubs and you know organizations.
You mean the time that the merge?
Well,
or
the merge and shortly thereafter, because that was that's the mid-60s and the end of the '60s.
Yeah, it seemed like
seventies.
I guess it must have started around that time, Chuck.
Yeah.
To me,
because everything is.
Yeah,
it just seemed like it was.
Yeah, right. And when we moved over to West Street, it seemed like it really just...
Yeah.
You remember that?
Well, yeah.
Were you home then, or were you on the road?
No, I was home. I was home. I left... I was only out part of 57,
mm-hmm.
58. I mean, part of 58 and all of 59. I came back in 60.
Okay.
About March of 60 when I came home.
Uh-huh.
And I was around here for all that was going on, but it just seemed like there wasn't that much happening.
Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, and it seemed like even the joint started to
It was different. And even our relationship was different. When we came to East Liberty, it seemed like, we didn't have the same enthusiasm, the same kind of feelings toward one another.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was
as
just a
had,
different.
You mean
down the hill. I mean, it was.
It was. Yeah, it was.
It was a special. It was special. You know.
I'm glad I got a chance.
Yeah.
To see that.
And the early days, you know, the early days, the younger musicians, you know, I mean, it was really a bond.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it was
really a bond.
Yeah, I remember we were coming up. It was. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was. It was a good period of time.
You know, and we weren't too big-headed. We couldn't listen or, you know. Today, it's terrible.
Have you ever taught students?
No.
Have you ever run across young drummers that come in and you know, they ask you questions and have you ever given them advice? What kind of advice would you give to young musicians?
Keep practicing and, you know, you got to practice every day. Yeah. And, you know, and
learn how to read.
Learn how to read. That's the main thing. Learn how to read. Yeah. Well, look, it paid off for you, Chuck.
Yeah.
You know, how many of us could go out there and do what you?
Yeah. It's something.
In fact, I would say you're about the only one.
Yeah. There's only a few. You know. I mean, but the key to it is you have to do it all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
See, that's the key. And a lot of guys don't want to take the they'd
the
rather,
time.
You know, sing it to me and I'll play it this way.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't guarantee the next time you play it,
it's going to be the same.
That way.
Yeah.
See, that's one of the things that I've learned about the printed word.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
If it's down on paper and you play it, it'll be that.
That's right. Same way the next time.
And maybe there's a difference in the jazz feel and in the other music feel because we don't care how hip it is.
Yeah,
we're more concerned about playing it so that it's consistent.
Right.
You know, but over here we want to be hip. We want to play.
Oh yeah.
You know.
But say when the radio stations come up and or TV stations want a couple of hire black guy to read, how many here could do it?
We can't do it.
We've
never been able. Because I know when I was on the road,
we only had three or four, if that many.
There's a few now. There's some younger ones coming through.
Oh, which I don't know. Well, that's good.
There's a crop of them coming through. In fact, Kenny Powell. I mean, I'm very high on that young man.
Is that right?
And Paul Thompson. There's a young bass player. He's leaving here next month to go to New York.
Is that right?
Yeah, because I've been in the Balcony Band now for almost 4 months.
Oh yeah. Oh,
yeah,
I didn't
come
know
down
you were
on a Monday night.
John Wilson.
No, Balcony
Who's?
Band.
H.
B. Bennett.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, come over on a Monday night.
On
the 10th of August, Sunday afternoon, we'll be in Shadyside Festival.
We used to play that too.
Yeah.
That's a nice. I think this is about the last gig we had.
Okay. What year is this? Now?
This is. I don't know if the date's on here.
Let's see the date on.
It had to be. 60, no, what am I talking about? 70.
Oh, mid-70s.
Or the early 80s. I think the
early
80s.
Yeah, because Lee Robbins, Kenny Powell Trio.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But he's really coming.
And we were over here for quite a while.
Yeah.
You know, like you guys are going on certain dates. And
well, the Balcony Band is on Monday nights.
We'll stop over to see.
Mondays,
Is that John Wilson still over there, or is that
No. He's got his own band.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever hold any offices in the union? Were you ever on any boards or
in the union?
Yeah.
No.
Committees or anything?
No.
Did you feel I have to belong and I'll pay my dues and not consider? Did you do many MPTs, you know, the transcriptions?
I did a few of those.
Some of them I didn't particularly care for.
Yeah. You know.
Because I found that through those, that pays your card.
And
as dumb as they may be, because you got to play all kinds of things.
Right. And know? That's what we did, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to work at the
VA.
The VA and, quite a few places.
Yeah. Because I have a good connection to VA and Aspinwall now.
Oh, good.
I go up in February. They have Black History Month, and I've been up there 4 years now for that. And then they have another spring outdoor concert series that they start, and I've been doing that. And I go up with a quartet or a quintet. I might, because I had Kenny Powell up there and George Thompson, but usually it's a quartet. You know, Boswell and John Schmidt and Frank Weibel. There's a white bearded piano player play.
Play, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've been fortunate enough to get into that element of playing. Yeah. So
you know they come a long way, Chuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came a long way.
And
a lot of them, if you didn't know them, you hear them, you think it was one.
Right.
Not all of them, now, but a few of them.
And so you would say to the young boys to study and practice and learn the instrument.
Yes.
Let's see, what else can I ask you? Do you still keep in touch with some of the guys that you played with?
I still keep in. I talk to Dan quite a bit.
Yeah.
Jose, I talk to every now and then.
Yeah.
And in fact,
I think that's how I got your phone number.
Who's that?
From Dan Liddy.
Oh, yeah?
I think that's how it was.
Okay.
When I interviewed him, because I had forgotten, because there's so many guys, and I keep telling them, if there's anybody, please, kind of remind me or give them their name and address. Because there's some guys, like from Rankin, you remember Smitty playing trombone from out there? And these guys are all in Elks bands and things like that.
Smitty.
He reminds you of Dizzy Gillespie.
I
look like Dizzy Gillespie.
Is that right?
Yeah. But him and Henry Robinson was a drummer from out there.
Yeah, I remember Henry.
Okay.
Is he still around?
I don't know. I'm trying to find out.
Yeah, I remember him.
Because Frank was the one that took me out there and introduced me to those guys.
Oh, okay.
See,
all right,
Roper,
yeah.
You know, the guy has the car wash down there at...
what's his name's brother?
Bert's brother,
yeah.
Because he's played tenor.
He did?
Yeah, he was
played
tenor.
Yeah,
because I took the Rankin Elks. I used to go out there.
Yeah?
Sunday's the sessions that they
I didn't
had.
Know Roper played.
Yeah. And there was a guitar player out there.
Bill Burns? Yeah.
And
there was another guitar. No, he was from...
Ricky Lanier was from out that way.
Yeah, he was from out that way. And another guy. Oh, was he from out that way? Worked in the mill. He's still around.
Henderson.
Is he still,
he's still
around?
He's still around. I ran into a young kid, I think it was in the mid-60s, because I worked at Hogan's with Bobby Johnson, Alan Smart, and Tony King, a young kid from Braddock, somewhere out that way. And I'm playing rock and roll, but it surprised me because it was working. Trumpet, guitar, bass, and drum.
Is that right?
And we had a guy to come in here, and he was singing... Hold On, I'm Coming, and all that rock and roll stuff.
Yeah.
But it worked. We stayed in there almost 9 months.
Beautiful.
Right there on Fifth Avenue, just below the Aurora. There's a bar down there.
Yeah.
It was a bikers club. Because the bikers, they'd be out lined up. They come in there, man, and have a good time.
No kidding.
I stayed in there, we were in there for about 9 months.
That was, when was that, Chuck?
That was in, maybe 63, 60, 62, 63, somewhere in that period of time.
Because I worked with me and...
It might have been a little later than that.
Clarence Oden. I forget who else was one of these. We used to play at this joint down the street from there.
Ann Mulder.
Crazy Autos.
Oh, Crazy Autos.
Remember that?
Yeah, we were there
for a long time.
Yeah.
And
then Ann Mulder.
Then Ann Mulder
Hills
was up this
year. Because that's when Johnny Wilson and were in there for quite a while.
Yeah, right. That was good old days, man.
Well, let me see. What else? I've got a couple more minutes here. Did you ever do any recording?
I went up to New York and did a commercial for Genesee.
Oh, okay.
And I used... I used Bobby Jones. I think it was just the two of us.
Okay.
Yeah, this was in... This had to be 68. 68, 69, somewhere
around
that. Yeah. We flew us up in there. We was just up there for the one.
Yeah. Put it in 1 second.
Yeah.
Was it your thing to do?
It was my thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you ever been to any of the local studios here in town?
Yeah. Down on Fifth Avenue. It's upstairs. Where the Candy Ram is? forget the name of the studio.
Oh, you mean at National Record Mart? Upstairs above National Record Mart?
No.
You say on Fifth and
Fifth and Wood. You know, there's a candy store right around the corner there for years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, Fifth and Wood, across from PNC Bank, that big building.
Yeah.
Well, there was a studio upstairs there that we went in and recorded.
I thought that was on Forbes above National Record Mart.
No, not the one I'm talking about. This is on Fifth.
Was it? Because I forget
the name of it.
I remember there was one on Boulevard Allies.
Okay.
Market, you know, and I think that's the one that moved. Audio Innovations. There's a place on North Side now, over there on North Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And they've got a dynamite set up over there.
Is that right?
Oh yeah, and they got the guy that runs the board knows what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
It's a nice recording studio.
Yeah, this was, I can't remember the name of the...
And then, I don't know, George Hyde, well, he had moved in the Century Building. Because he used to be...
He used to be down on Penn Avenue, wasn't
he? Well, no, it used to be like a Grant Strawberry Way upstairs behind the Sun Telegraph Building. This is... Like in the
50s. Okay. All right.
Then he moved down in the Century Building, down on this 9th Street between Penn and the bridge. Century Building.
Okay.
And he was down there. This is the old man.
Was that the Duff near Duff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Across the street from the...
Well, it was, the Century Building is on the Stanley Theater.
Okay.
And the next block going towards the bridge.
Yeah.
And it was in the middle of the block.
Okay. All right.
He was upstairs.
Yeah,
and now his son.
I've worked with his son a couple of times.
Well, yeah. And his son now has the recording studio. Yeah.
Is he still playing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
His son plays drums.
Well, he was the one I played with who played organ.
Well, I don't know.
You don't remember him?
No, I don't remember him. He might be an older one.
How old is this guy?
This guy is probably about your age. You know, close to it.
Yeah,
because he does a lot of because he's in and out of the clubs and things, you know, and in fact he's done some things for the Balcony Band.
I'm sure he had the one son that played the organ I worked with.
He might have.
Could be wrong.
Did you feel when the club, when we moved from the hill, well, you weren't a part of that much down the hill at the old club?
No. We'd go over there, I'd go with my sister just to get her guests played.
Yeah, right. Okay. And most of your activities?
Most of the guys that was on the board, they knew me.
Yeah, Joe Porter and all of them.
Yeah, Joe and all of them, yeah.
Yeah.
And who was he? Kind of a stout, brown-skinned fella. He had a protruding hairline. I think he was a president at the time.
Oh, Stoney.
No, not Stoney Gloucester.
Well,
Stoney was kind of tall.
Stoney...
I can't think of his name. But if I'd call his
Jim
name...
Jim Baldwin?
No, it wasn't Jim Baldwin.
No, because well,
he was
actually,
the president then.
No. Well, no, actually, Stoney was Hince Jackson was the president in 1941,
mm-hmm.
according to the book that we have.
Okay.
And Stoney was the next president, and I joined in 47 or 48.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I joined, and Stoney was the president. Then Carl Arter replaced Stoney when we left the hill and moved to East Liberty. Carl Arter was president. That's
I remember that.
And then. Joe Westday took over. Was the president in the 60s.
Yeah.
And then the merge, and then that was it. That's our chain of presidents.
I think it went down, the union went down when we moved from...
From the hill to East Liberty.
And another one, I think, when we moved from Frankstown to West Race.
Well,
it was on its way.
Because actually, there was no reason for us to lose that club.
Well, you know why.
Well, that's it. The whole thing. We had a problem. We had I remember one of the union meetings when they were talking about a manager to run the club.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray Brown's brother was mentioned because
mm-hmm.
he was a CPA.
Okay. That's what we needed.
But the majority of the musicians said if he didn't play a horn, they didn't want him.
They didn't want him.
And that was it. And I thought about that. I said, you're crazy. But
who was the manager? Was it Joe?
Joe Porter. Joe Porter was manager.
And then Ducky came in later years, right?
Yeah.
That was something, man.
But we're our own worst enemy. We do it to ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, I think we've about covered everything that's important.
Okay.
If necessary, mm-hmm. that I have to get back, you know, just kind of be loose.
Sure, so we can get back. Anytime, Chuck, yeah.
Because we'll find that when we're talking around, you know, it's going to be, you know, this guy's going to say something that's going to trigger something else. And we'll, mm-hmm. and we'll,